Churches today are imbalanced, and God has given His word for the development of the entire body. So when the Spirit of God lays a prophetic word, a word of encouragement, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, there is an order for it to flow, and so we open ourselves to that because we want God to use us in many ways as we need to see fit. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering for His name. Minister Alrick and the praise team, I want to thank you for leading us into God's presence and for being obedient to what He places on your heart from week to week so that we can come into time of our worship. Amen. One of the things I want to caution you about is that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you've never been impacted by the Holy Spirit, you don't have the right to judge the Holy Spirit. When you've been filled and touched by the Holy Spirit, only then I think you're qualified to judge what the Holy Spirit is doing. Until then, I think you ought to say, Lord, fill me so I can get some of that. Amen? What are we going to do today, brother? Now we can get into the Word. You doing okay? I know it's hot, but I've got a 2.5 hour message for you, so you're just going to have to hang with me for just a little while. And if you think this is hot, like I said, don't go to hell. It'll be worse there. So stay put. Let's have some fun with the Word of God. As a pastor over the years, I go through the Bible and I preach from different topics and different books, and I keep track of what I preach on so that I'm not imbalanced in my teaching, so I don't want to just spend years and years teaching on the Gospels and then nothing in the Old Testament, And even when I get into the Old Testament, I keep track of where I preached in the Old Testament so that there's balance between the major prophets and the minor prophets and other topics that God would impress upon my heart. And so I was looking over the messages over the years, and I realized that I was a little unbalanced when it comes to the minor prophets. And so we've been spending some time in Joel, and now I'm heading into Amos, and we're going to hit some of these books. And there's some wonderful, beautiful truths that God has in these books that I think can be answers to our prayers today and beneficial to where we are today in life. And so one of these books is the book of Amos, and we're going to hit Amos this morning. We can't do all of it. We're going to read the first chapter. And the text is taken from the first two chapters, but for the sake of time, we will only read one chapter. And I will encourage you during the course of the week to read the book of Amos in one sitting if you possibly can, and just to try to understand and digest and ingest as much as you can. So why don't you join with me this morning, and let's read God's word together. And Lorena, I'm wondering, would you be open to reading for us this morning? Yeah?
Yes.
All right, good stuff. You know, it's we've got, let me see how many verses we've got. We've got 15 verses. Maybe we can have someone else read a half. You do half, and someone else can do half. Amen? All right. You know the first half?
Sure.
All right. I need a volunteer for the second verse. All right.
The words of Amos, the son of Shephatiah, one of the sons of shepherds of Yo, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up and the top of Carmel withers. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Damascus, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath. Because she threshed Gilead with sledges having from iron teeth, I will send fire upon the house of Haziel that will consume the fortresses of Ben-Hadad. I will break from the gate of Damascus. I will destroy the king who is in the valley of Avon and the one who holds the scepter in Beth Eden. The people of Aram will go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Gaza, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. I will send fire upon the walls of Gaza that will consume her fortresses.
And I will cut off the inhabitants.
I will destroy the king. I will destroy the king Harab, Ashbod, and one who holds the scepter of Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron till the last Philistine is dead, says the sovereign Lord. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will turn back my wrath, because she has sold me communities and captives of Edom, disregarding the treaty of the brotherhood. I will send fire on the walls of Tyre and consume the fortresses. This is what the Lord has said, for three sins of Edom and four, I will not turn back my wrath, because he pursued my brother with the sword, swift in compassion, because of his anger and continually his fiery flame on him. I will send fire upon Timon, and I will consume the fortress of their bozrah. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Ammon, I will turn back my wrath, because of the rift open of that pregnant woman of Galaad in order to extend his brothers. I will send fires on the walls of Rabbath and will consume her fortress, and Ammon of war cries on the days of battle. Ammon winds on the stormy days. Her king will exile, he will official together, says the Lord.
Amen. That's the fervent word of God. This is my Bible. It is unadulterated, inspired, authoritative, word of God for my life. I will read it slowly.
I will
read it prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, neighbor, God's voice will be heard. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's voice will be heard. Amen. Amen. We live in a time today where people are becoming less and less concerned about what God is saying and what God wants to say, and we are more concerned with becoming politically correct over a number of issues. Am I not right? But I believe, church, that if we are going to have purpose and direction in our life, we've got to hear the voice of God. We've not only got to hear the voice of God, we've got to hear the voice of God, understand the voice of God, and follow the voice of God if we're going to have direction and purpose for our lives. If we're truly going to be God's Christian, our ears must forever be in tune with the voice of God. Amen? And so I'm going to challenge you today that if you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart and allow the word of God to penetrate and to saturate and to move you in a direction that God can use you for the fullness of his glory and his power. The context before us today is that the children of Israel, you know, the kingdom had been divided into two, Judah and Israel, and the children of Israel were living in a way in which was not pleasing to God. And I'm going to go through the text and I'm going to show you some of the things that they were doing. And God decided one day that he had to get a message over to the children of Israel. Now, he is an almighty and all-powerful God. He could have used his eternal, powerful voice and say, "Yea, he, Israel, this is thee, God," and speak to them and to communicate his message to them. But God instead chose to use a man by the name of Amos. And Amos is going to be God's mouthpiece. And we're going to talk about that. The premise of the text, when you read all of Amos, the books, the chapters of Amos, it is God's cry against injustice. And God is still crying today for injustice. And when he sees his children being persecuted at the hands of their enemies, he's not going to just sit back and do nothing about it. Somebody ought to start shouting about on that one, because you've got some enemies that's been on your back. And you might be catching hell, but know this day that the God that you serve will not allow your enemies to continue to tread upon you. One day he will make him your footstool. The other message we get in the text is that Amos is not also crying out to the people of God about their ungodliness and reminding them that God is not going to sit idle, but he's also pronouncing judgment on the children of God who know what they're supposed to be doing but choosing not to do it. Now, nobody's going to shout on that one. Yeah. He's pronouncing judgment on the children of Israel who are living in a time of economic prosperity, and they're complacent and they're just living life and enjoying the things of the world, and there is nothing wrong with that. But Amos declares judgment on the children of Israel. And I want to look at the life of Amos this morning, because this man is a shepherd and he exhibits tremendous courage for us today. And we're also going to look at, if you have your bulletins, we're also going to look at the issues that he was facing in his communities, in his community. And we're going to draw some applications from his life, and hopefully those applications can be made to our lives and give us encouragement and insight as we journey with this through our Christian walk with Almighty God. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Are you going to turn that towards me, Valerie?
Well, I thought I would give the
congregation. No. If you make them too comfortable, they'll go to sleep. Let the heat rise. You keep me cool. Thank you, Valerie. That's so nice of you. Excellent. If they're hot, they'll stay awake.
Yeah.
They gotta fan themselves. They won't fall asleep doing that. I promise you that. And so we wrestled with this idea of hearing the voice of God. And what we see in the text is that Amos is a shepherd and God called him. And I want to talk to you about that, because when you read the text, it just, you don't get the fullness of the picture. God called Amos. And so I want to talk to you today about, how do you hear the voice of God? How do you know if God is telling you to move to Fort McMurray or go to Calgary? How do you know if God is telling you that it's time to, you know, go live in Red Deer or someplace? How do you know if God is telling you to buy the house or not to buy the house? How do you know if God is speaking to you about who to date and not to, who not to date? How do you know if God is calling you into the ministry? And so this is an issue, I think, that's very important for us, because many of you sitting within the sound of my voice this morning have some situations in your lives that you need clarity on, and you need the voice of God to be speaking very clearly to you. If God was to speak this morning, would we as a church recognize his voice? Would you know the voice of God amongst all of the other voices that are out there? Would you know the voice of God? And so in our text this morning, we want to spend some time talking about hearing the voice of God. From scripture, we know that Samuel heard the voice of God, but he did not recognize it until he was instructed by Eli that it was God that was speaking to him. We also know that Gideon had physical revelation from God, and he too doubted what he thought he'd heard, to the point of asking God for signs several times. He put out his fleece. So how do we really, really know when God is speaking to us about a particular issue? I believe when we dig into the text, we're going to find some things that I believe can be helpful to us. To hear God's voice, I believe that we must first be open to God. I believe that we must first belong to God. If you don't belong to God, it's going to be difficult for you to hear what he's trying to say to you. And those who hear his voice must be those who belong to him and be willing to take what they hear and to put it into practice. Amos is one of those individuals who heard God's voice in the call to ministry. His message is a cry for justice. Justice because God's people are being persecuted, but also justice because some of God's people were not living in covenant relationship. I want to look, first of all, at the compliance of Amos's call from God. And the text tells us in verses 1 and 2 that Amos was a shepherd. And if you know anything about shepherding in the ancient Near Eastern world, it was not a position that was highly respected. This is why when the angels appeared to shepherds, many of the theologians became distraught, because God chose to reveal himself through shepherds, the uneducated, the simple, not the educated and the sophisticated. And so Amos is a shepherd. And the text tells us not only was he a shepherd, but he was out taking care of his sheep, which is a very good thing to do. He's employed. He's responsible. But the text tells us that he was also gathering sycamore fruits to supplement his income. And you read the text, it's right there, that he was a shepherd and he was the gatherer of sycamore fruits to supplement his income. Now, if you're going to be a shepherd, you've got to understand certain things about the climatic conditions in which you serve. And being a shepherd was nothing spiritual, yet God used this experience to channel his message through Amos to his people. I want to say to you today that you may not have a sophisticated job, but if you are open to the things of God, God can use you as an instrument to communicate his message to his people. This is why you ought not to panic when God begins to use people, because God uses unlikely people to communicate his message. The problem with the church is we think that the most sophisticated folks have to be the carriers of God's message. That somebody who's had issues and struggles in their life could not be used by God to bring a message to God's people. And we miss God many times because we're looking at the vessel and not the giver of the message. But thank God that he uses broken water pots. Thank God that he uses the most unlikely people to communicate his truth to them. Because God is not looking to your abilities, only your availability. And Amos was available. And so, Carmen, I say to you that if you are available this morning, God can use you to communicate his message to his people. Regardless of where you've been and what you haven't done, he can still use you if you are available. I want to say to you this morning, New Hope, make yourselves available to be an instrument of God's message to his people. Now follow me now. The text doesn't say this, but I began to study. Now, Amos is a shepherd, and he's definitely not making it financially. The text tells us that he's collecting sycamore fruit thread so that he can keep paying his bills. While he's in that condition, God calls him into ministry. You're not hearing me. While he's barely making it financially, God calls him into ministry as a prophet. Now, there's something that you need to understand, that Amos was working as a shepherd. He probably didn't see the prophetic gift working in him. But God saw something in him that he couldn't see. And God sees our destiny more than we can see it. And in time, he releases us into our destiny. Never judge your present, your future based on present circumstances, because you don't know what God is preparing you for tomorrow. So you might be out in the fields taking care of the sheep, but tomorrow you can be graduated and elevated to a position of power and prestige. So go through what you're going through today. Learn what lessons you have to learn today. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you would leave your job that you have right now and follow God into the ministry? And most of us know the ministry for most of us does not pay a whole lot. So now you're already struggling to begin with. So you're going to go take a position that's going to cost you more financially. Do I have any volunteers? Not only that, he's going to go speak judgment to thousands of people. Do you think he's going to be well-liked? So now he's going to leave his career, go into the ministry, and be constantly faced with the opposition of people, because when you start telling people about their sins, they just don't sit back and stay quiet. Hello, somebody. Even in church, they don't sit back and stay quiet. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. But Amos obeyed the call of God. What was it that Amos heard that encouraged his spirit to leave shepherding to become the voice of God? And Amos tells us in Amos chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, that God spoke to him directly. And I don't know this morning, but I want you to know that if God calls you, would you be willing to do what he tells you to do? If God called you and asked you to go to a different part of the world to preach, to do whatever it is that he's asking you to do, would you do it? And you know how we can tell it's God's? Because these are things that we would not do on our own. Everybody can feel the call to go minister in Hawaii. If I ask for a show of hands, the plane is full already. How many of us want to go to Tuk-tuk-tuk, or whatever it is, up north, to do missions work? Not too many volunteers. How many of you want to go to one of those restricted nations where Christians are being persecuted for their faith? How many of us would go? Not too many of us, but if I say we're going to Hawaii, gate number 2 leaving in half an hour, the plane is full. Everybody's going to Hawaii. What am I trying to say to you this morning is that if you're going to be used by God, you've got to be willing to hear his voice and obey the call. And it's going to cost you. Shepherding wasn't lucrative. He didn't want to leave his job, but because God has called him, he did that. He supplemented his income. What I want to say to you is that there's some of you today that are complaining that the economy is tough, and it is tough. But we notice that Amos not only shepherd, but he gathered sycamore fruit. In my mind, the brother learned how to hustle. And some people need to learn how to hustle. You got to try a few things. I learned how to hustle to make ends meet. You got to do what you got to do to make ends meet. And this is the message we see from Amos today. Now, we notice from Amos that he's not divided in his obligation. He has one occupation, and that is speaking the message of God to God's people and to the nations round about him. He needs time to be with God so that he can hear from God. If we are going to hear God's voice, my brothers and my sisters, we must be able to take time in quietness and solitude where we can be alone with God and allow God to speak to us in that quietness. If you don't take time to be with God, you will not hear his voice. There will be many voices speaking to you, but it will be difficult for you to decipher which voice is God's voice. And so he is now in line with the other prophets to receive direct revelation from God. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to hear from God. I remember the time when I was not living for the Lord, and I made this deal with God. I was living at 375 Northwood Road, and was running into some rough times after living a life on vacation from the Lord. But of course, when we run into difficulty, we all pray the prayer, Lord, if you help me one more time, I promise that I will straighten up. And God helps us one more time, and then we, Lord, if you help me one more time, and then it continues being several more times, and it's just, we continue going down that road. But anyway, this one February morning, I had nothing in my to eat, and I said, Lord, I just wish you would let one of the tellers put $5 in my account by accident. And so long story short, went up to the bank machine, there was nothing there, came back, saw some footprints going up to the house, and thought they were going to visit the people that I was living with. And in the mailbox, there was a letter from me for over $300. And as I opened it, it said, you had enough faith to ask for it, enough courage to ask for it, but not enough faith to believe that I can do it for you. And I heard an audible voice, and I looked around, and there was nobody around me. That was my experience. I knew then that was God's voice. And in that moment, I made a decision to go to Bible school. Didn't know what I was going to do, what I was going to take, but I made the decision to go to Bible school. This is how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. And he will never contradict his word. If you've got to make a decision, you ought to base that decision on God's word. Amen? He speaks to us through vision. He gives us visions. He speaks to us through dreams. He speaks to us through mental images. He gives us audible voices. He speaks to us in the still, small voice. And all of these ways are the different ways in which God can speak to us. So don't only limit God to one particular way. Open yourself up to be able to hear from God in multiple ways, because he will speak to you even in the midst of a painful situation. Responding to his voice requires change. When Amos heard the voice of God, he had to change his career from a shepherd to a prophet. What is God's voice saying to you today? Can you differentiate between the voices that are speaking to you? I'm sure there are many people hearing lots of different voices, but you got to make sure the voice that you hear is the voice of Almighty God. The call of God will not take you where the power of God will not sustain you. Do I have any witnesses in the house today? The call of God will not take you where the power of God will not sustain you. And then we want to look at point number two, not only his call, but the consistency of Amos's courage. His message was that of God and not of Amos. And anytime we receive a message, it ought to be a message of God and not the person speaking it. Amos criticizes the leaders for the deterioration of social justice and morality in their communities. This is courageous. While we talk about courage, New Hope, I want to challenge you. In the day that we are living in today, how many of you are willing to stand up and say that we are living in a day where the deterioration of social justice and morality is taking place, and as God's chosen children, you are willing to stand up and be counted. How many of us are willing to stand up and be counted? I believe the church today is more concerned about being politically correct than standing on the Word of God. But I think we've got to reverse the order, and we've got to stand on the Word of God and be less concerned about being politically correct.
Amen.
Amen. And so he points out that their total disregard for human rights and personality. Isn't it interesting that there's nothing new under the sun? Back in Amos' time, there's a concern for human rights. Today, we're concerned for human rights, and it seems that everybody's got rights except the Christians.
Yes.
Everybody's got rights except the Christians. If you're a Christian, you have no rights. But we can't complain about the injustices to our rights. God's people must see the Lord and to repent and to establish justice if they want to move forward with God. He points out that the day of judgment is inevitable. Amos 9, 1 to 8. And what Amos is saying to us, my brothers and sisters, that even though we're living in difficult times, God will hold the nations accountable for their wrongdoings. And God will hold men accountable for their wrongdoings. He was just not concerned about the covenant people of Israel, but he also saw, even with Obadiah, Jonah, God judged the surrounding nations as well. And so I want to say to you today, my brothers and my sisters, that if we hang around fire, you're going to get burned. And so if you hang around people that are doing things that are not right, you will suffer the consequences of that when judgment comes upon those nations. And so I want you to know that God will hold people accountable. There's some of you, you've got some people in your lives that are driving you crazy, that are a thorn in your side, that keep you up at night. But I want you to know that justice will be served. God's just judgment will be executed upon those who do wrong. And so I want to encourage you to stand your ground and stand strong and watch God make your enemies your footstool. The standards to which nations were held were the issue of accountability. The heathens were judged for their violation of the principles of righteousness, the ungodly folks. But the people of God were judged for their faithfulness to God's word, their unfaithfulness to God's word. And so I want to take courage and encourage you to stand up and be counted, so that when you stand up before God, he can look at you and say, my children, well done, good and faithful servant. Today I feel that the church is being forced to compromise biblical truth for correctness of the society. But I want you to know today that there's Amoses around us in this group. There's Amoses around us in the church community. And if you are an Amos, you ought to hear God's call and respond to it. If you're an Amos, you ought to hear God's call and hear and follow God wherever he's leading you. If you are an Amos, I want you to stand up and be counted, my brothers and my sisters. Now let us look at the community that Amos had to minister in. His audience is primarily the northern kingdom of Israel. The conditions which characterize them is a time of wealth and enjoying great luxury. And you know what happened to people of God when there is no wars taking place and they've got lots of wealth and lots of luxury? God tends to go out the window. This is why sometimes I believe God likes to keep us a little bit, not poor, but keep us with one or two issues in our lives, because if those issues were not there, we would become some very arrogant people. But he keeps one or two issues so that those issues can consistently draw us to our knees so we can go before God and to cry for him in faithfulness. The children of Israel were living in an environment of wealth, enjoying great luxury. Morally, religiously, and politically, they were corrupt. There was political security, so there was no fighting taking place. There was material prosperity, and there was a mood of carelessness. And you know, this is the same thing that happens today. When we start enjoying the things of the world too much and make them our God, sin creeps in. And I'm not saying don't enjoy the things in the world. Enjoy as much as God's given to you. But don't start worshiping those things. And this is what we see here today. And there is a carelessness within the community of God and the people are distant from God. And God says he's not going to sit back and watch his children go down a particular pathway that is not good for them. And I want you to know God's going to do the same thing for us. As a good father, he will not sit by and watch us take wrong turns and make wrong decision after wrong decision and do nothing about it. God is going to get us one way or the other. Amen? He will get us. And so God tells Amos that he's going to send a judgment, and when it comes upon the people, it's going to be like a lion who roars, and this roar will reach all the way to Mount Carmel. But one of the issues I notice with the text is that I love to watch the animal kingdom shows, and I love to watch how the lions would stake out their prey. And when the lion roars, it's not a roar before he gets his prey. It's a roar when he's got the neck of the prey in his mouth. And so what that tells me, that this judgment, if people aren't careful, it's going to come to them, but it's going to come too late. Because the roar is not a roar of warning, but it's a roar that danger is upon you now. And so this is what Amos tells the people. And as a shepherd, he knows something about the lions. And he knows that when this roar takes place, it's too late. The people of Israel were now at a summit of worldly prosperity, but were rapidly filling up the treasures of sin in their lives. The mission of Amos was to speak to all the different nations. And if you have your Bibles, you will see that he says to Damascus, here is the sin of Damascus, cruelty towards the inhabitants of Gilead. And the judgment is destruction and captivity. This was fulfilled by the Assyrian captivity. Gaza, sin of engaging into slave trafficking. There is nothing new under the sun, my friends. Judgment, total devastation. Tyre, sin, slave trafficking, did not remember the covenant of the brotherhood. Judgment, destruction. This was also fulfilled under Nebuchadnezzar. Edom, sin, cruelty to the brothers. Judgment, destruction upon Boaz and their family. Fulfillment will take place 400 BC. Ammon, sin, murder of a pregnant woman in Gilead. Judgment, destruction upon them. Moab, sin, burned the king of Edom's bones to lime. Judgment, destruction. And so Amos is going through all of these sins. Judah, sin, apostasy from the law. Judgment, Jerusalem was destroyed. But fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar. Goes on to Israel in Amos 2:16. Their sin is several, and they're listed there for your perusal. The sin of injustice, slave trade, and abuse of the poor. These were the things that Amos was facing in this community that he was supposed to be speaking to. Immorality, prostitution, idolatry, worshiping false god, rebellion against God, who cast out the Amorites before them, deliverance from the land of Egypt, and he gave them prophets, and he gave them abilities to move forward. The effects of which weighed God down was so full that Amos described it as a cart. And if some of you are familiar with the donkey carts back home, when it's loaded and you're going on gravel road, the weight is so heavy that it crushes the gravel as you go along. Pretty soon, if you travel that road often, all that gravel ends up turning into dust. But God said it is so heavy that it is crushing. And so I came by this morning to tell you, my friends, that as God's children, we've got to set aside the ungodliness of this world. I believe that one of the reasons why the church is the way it is because there isn't a clear dividing line from what is sin and what is sacred. The two are being mixed. And the church doesn't want to hear this message anymore because we're so intertwined in it. But as God's people, we must take a stand and stand up for what we know is right. And we ought to be on God's side. And so we notice it is apparent that the focus in this section is primarily upon the northern kingdom of Israel, even though Judah, it does not escape condemnation. I came by to tell you that bad company will also corrupt good character. So what lesson might we learn from these two chapters that are before us today? Well, Having read the judgment God pronounced upon the eight nations, we are reminded that God is a righteous God. And this same righteous God will not sit by and allow unrighteousness to continue. God's judgments took place in Amos's day, but I want you to know that there's a day of judgment coming for you and I. And the people who do not want to hear God's voice, and the people who refuse to hear God's voice, will have to stand one day and give an account for the things that they did or didn't do in this lifetime. I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, this morning, that if you've got some folks that's giving you hell on one side, I want you to know that they too will stand before God and have to give an account. One who holds men accountable is the God that we serve. And as we read this great day of judgment, in which we will one day be held accountable for our actions, I want you to know that God's voice in that time will be heard. For my Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will have to confess. But when God establishes his new Jerusalem city and judgment comes upon this land, God's word will be heard. And I want to encourage you, like Amos, that should God call you into some specific ministry, that you would hear his voice, that you would respond to the call, that you would leave secular for sacred, and you would do and go where God leads and direct. God's voice will be heard. And I want to ask you today to take God as his word, for his word said that he is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto his pathway. Does anybody here know what God's word says? I want you to take him at his word, because God's word is food for the hungry. God's word is strength for the weary. God's word is deliverance for the captive. God's word is help for those in need. And God's word is comfort for the brokenhearted. God's word is sustenance for those who are depleted. And God's word is supply for those that got a need. God's word is yay. And God's word is amen. God's word stands forever. Does anybody want to stand on the foundation of God's word? In it you will find rest for your souls. You will find peace for your minds. You will find help for your journey. Would you stand on the word of God? Would you hear the word? Would you take in the word? Would you ingest the word? Would you digest the word? Would you memorize the word? Would you regurgitate the word? Because thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Let God's word be your source. Let it be your need. Let it fulfill your desires. Stand on his word. Obey the word. Know the word of God. God's word will be heard. Either by willingness or by force. But God's word will be heard. And God's justice will be executed. Stand on God's word. Stand on God's word. This is our lifeline. We can't make the journey without God's word. So hear his voice through his word. Seek his direction through his word. If you got some issue before you and you don't know how to handle it, I guarantee you that God's word will not contradict itself. It will give you clarity. It'll give you direction. It'll give you purpose. It'll be a guiding path for you, a guiding light for your pathway. So take him at his word. Hear his word. What is God saying to you today? Let me ask you another question. Has God spoken to you lately? God is always speaking, so if we're not hearing, it's not him, it's us. What has God said to you recently? Is God speaking to you? What sin is God asking you to abandon? What issue is God asking you to leave alone? Whose wife is God asking you to leave alone? What's God saying to you? Have you heard his voice lately? We gotta hear his voice, church. We gotta hear his voice. If you can't hear his voice, you've got no sense of purpose and direction. You don't know if you're going or you're coming. You gotta hear his voice. You gotta hear his voice. There may be somebody here that haven't heard God's voice in a long time, but you've got a decision before you that you've got to make, and you're not too sure which way to go. We'd love to pray for you, pray with you, and to encourage you that you, like Amos, out in the wilderness, will hear God's voice, will respond to God's voice, and follow where God's voice leads. Is there any such person among servants today? Those of the serving the altar ministry team, I invite you to just join me at this time. Is there someone here this morning with a decision that you've got to make and you're looking for clarity? Are your ears in tune to the voice of God? This is wonderful that God is not speaking to anyone, and we hope all of us are hearing from God. This is good. Amen. This is good. I'll wait on you. What decision is there in your life that you need to make and you need clarity, you need decision on? Would you give the Lord an opportunity? Something that you don't want to do. Because most of the time when he calls us, it's to do something we don't really want to do. Oh, Jesus, have your way. Your altars are open, my friends. You know, we need more people hearing God's voice. The more of us that hears God's voice, the more purpose and direction we will have. The more obedient we will walk when we hear God's voice. Thank you. Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.